Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Leader Feeder. Let's roll it down on 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Podcats?
Hey guys, I'm your host, Jonathan Greenlee.
I'm Grayson Higley.
And I'm Lorena Juanes.
And we are coming to you today with some authentic leadership. That's right. Today we're going to be talking about what it means to be an authentic leader. And to me, it just means about being your genuine self in front of other people. But if you're new to the idea of authentic leadership, there's a couple of ideas that will help you kind of get started on what it means to develop authentic leadership. And these ideas are reflecting on life stories and developing self-awareness, identifying core values, understanding motivations, building a support team, and creating a vision. And so to touch a little bit more on this, I believe Lorena has something for us.
Cool. So yeah, we're going to dive a little bit deeper on reflecting on life story, just because I think that's just the greatest way that I can authentically show who I am and how I can authentically lead. It's just a lot more efficient, I believe, to lead a group of people and be yourself, because you're not adding too much extra, you know, fluffing it up. And so it doesn't take up time, you know, and so you can just get to the point. And so for like reflecting life story, I'm not really shy to talk about like where I'm from, where I came from, where my family's from, you know. I come from, my parents are immigrants. They're from, you know, over yonder. So just kidding. My mom is from Honduras, in Central America. And so, she had to leave, her home, for lots of reasons. And, you know, a lot of my story starts there, you know, because a lot about me is kind of based on that. Like, you can't really get to know me unless you get to know my mom's story. So my mom came and searched for a better life. So she found it, you know, and she's been here since 95. And I just grew up like, you know, just having to, you know, help my mom out. I grew up really, really quick. So at the age of 8 years old, I was reading in really important documents, which no 8 year old has business doing. Yeah. But I was doing it for my mom and, you know, translating and everything. And to this day, like, I can be in a grocery store, and if someone's like, I see someone struggling with like a language barrier, I'm like, yo, like, do you need someone to help you translate? Like, I got you. It's just been really instilled in me to help others. And it's because of that background of like, you know, having to help my mom. And even to this day, like, even though she's been here for, you know, 20 plus years, you know, she still has, you know, some like struggles. And so a lot of my willingness to help serve comes from that background of my mom, like saying, like, you know, like, she's the one who instilled in me, if you ever see someone like at a grocery store or at a bank or something that they're struggling with language, you have the privilege of knowing both languages, like, go help. And so that's where a lot of my like leadership background comes from, is like helping others. And like, I just love to help others. If I see someone struggling, like I said,
I think you just like telling us just that little small snippet of your own story helped me reflect in ways that I can relate in my own life. And so, yeah, reflecting in your life story is really powerful. So,
yeah, I think it really just kind of adds to like the value that like I can see you in, because I've never had to struggle with overcoming like a language barrier at all throughout my life. And, you know, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who have never had to struggle with overcoming that language barrier. And so knowing that that's a part of your story, and knowing that's like been a part of what you've experienced throughout your life, I think that definitely like adds to like how I see you, and it probably helps other people like add to the value in the way that they see you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone's story is different, and how they came about is different, you know, but that's just how I choose to lead. And that's just a part of who I am. And like, I'm not really ashamed to really admit that, you know, like, yeah, like, my mom doesn't speak English, it's fine. Like, you know, I'll translate for you. My mom's actually pretty funny. Like, I got you, you know? So, you know, I just take that care with just anyone. Like, I treat everyone as if they were my mom. Mm-hmm. And what would my mom need from me at that moment in time?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Dang.
So, yeah. So then transitioning so cool. to with Lorena's being more deeper in things, I'll transition for me personally. Out of all those concepts that help you practice authentic leadership, mine is identifying core values. And so just to make it a little fun, I decided that I was going to bring in what would you do questions, because your values stem from a lot of like choices that you make throughout your day. And I think that just kind of makes us who we are, and it, we have our different perspectives and values. And so I brought in a few questions that I'll ask John and Lorena here that they have not seen.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So welcome to Grayson's Game Show.
Oh my gosh.
Yay!
I'm so nervous.
Okay. Mm. So for my first question, what if you woke up suddenly because your house was on fire? Which three things would you save, or sorry, would you save as you run outside?
Okay. I've already got like two picked out. So do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So assuming that my roommates are also awake, they're like hands off. Like I'm not going to go wake them up because like I probably know how the fire started. Anyway, like they're probably already out of the house. So I'm probably going to save three things. I'm going to save definitely my computer just because like I need that for school. Like desperately, like mind immediately goes to, oh my gosh, this like $1,000 piece
of equipment. That's number one though.
Well, I mean, because the other two things are like right next to each other. Like I have a very, very small room.
Okay, and, sorry.
And the next thing is probably going to be my aloe plant. I've been taking care of this beautiful aloe plant and it's growing very nicely. Third thing, I would save a wooden music box that my grandma gave me when I was little. Okay. And yeah, I'd save that.
Just dive deeper into that because we're talking about like your core values and like identifying those. Why do your core values identify in those three items? The grandma one, I understand. That's beautiful.
The grandma thing is because that's
aloe
like
plant. I don't know.
The aloe plant, that's just mostly because it just like, it's this thing that I've put a lot of time into and that I've made like an investment in it. And like, I just want to keep seeing it grow. And so,
this is beautiful.
No, yeah.
It is.
And then with the computer, like I literally made an investment in that. And plus like a lot of my schoolwork and my classes, are like all of my homework's on there. And plus like, I can get a lot more homework done using that. And so I see the laptop mostly as like a tool to like help me further like my education, so that's why I'd save that. Because you can always get like a pencil everywhere else, but like a computer, like that's a little expensive. So
no, that's cool.
Yeah, Lorena, what are some of yours?
I'll ask Lorena a different question.
Okay, all right.
What if you could be famous but poor forever? Let me reread this. What if you could be famous but poor forever? Would you do it?
I think I would. The reason behind that is that, I grew up poor, so I know what it's like, you know, to be poor. So I'm not worried about that, but I think being famous, like you, that comes with having a platform and like, I can speak up for like things that are important to me and that I would like to share with the world. And if that means I have to be poor, then it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as I got food and shelter, you know?
Okay.
That
no.
was such a good answer.
I love that.
Mine was bad.
No, it wasn't. Honestly, for the three questions, the three things, I probably would have said just like my safe that has all my important papers, mm-hmm. like my birth certificate and such, and then myself, because honestly, like, I have nothing, so.
Oh.
Okay. Next question.
Okay.
What if you could keep one memory in your mind for the rest of your life? Which one would it be and why?
Ooh,
only one.
I got
memory.
One.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so everyone always asks me, what's your favorite memory? What's your favorite memory? And for me, my favorite memory that I would keep forever is the moment. So in Latin culture, like for birthdays, mm-hmm. You know, they'll sing to you happy birthday in Spanish, and they have this song called Las Mañanitas, and they sing that or whatever. And then at the end of the song, everyone starts chanting mordida, which translates to bite it, you know, bite the cake.
Aww.
And so you go in to bite the cake, but then your friends around you just slam your face in the cake.
Aww.
And it's a really fun time. And so like that moment of like having my face slammed in the cake is just honestly like the best for me, because I just like I have my family with me, my mm-hmm. friends, and I just feel so loved. And honestly, that would be the one memory I would want to keep forever and ever.
Sweet. Oh, sorry. I said cute and sweet in the same word. I said that's sweet. Okay. So what value do you think stems from that? Because like, how do you think that now plays out in the rest of your life on a daily basis? Like,
yeah. So, family and like building community, like I'm very big on that. So just that moment in general just reminds me of like how everything can be going bad, but when you're with your core group of people or like your family or your family away from family, like everything's just good, you know? And so yeah. I don't just having family with you at all times, regardless of what family looks like, because, you know, family may look
different
for me than for you guys. So just, you know, family.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to wrap it up. Okay. John, I'll ask you the last question.
Oh boy, here we
this
go.
One's okay. A little fun. Okay. It's we'll see how it stems your values.
Okay.
What if you were a hot dog, and if you were starving, would you eat yourself?
Well,
would you eat yourself?
You see, Gracie, I've thought of this question every day of my life, and
okay, no, you have
and
not.
You know, I personally see myself as a bratwurst, and I'm gonna be honest,
guys. If you don't know John, he is tinier than me around.
Nah.
So.
Okay, I might be a little skinny, but
you're not a bratwurst.
Well, okay. Are you objectifying what a bratwurst should look like? Anyways,
you can't just assume, Gracie.
I'm sorry. I need to be more inclusive about my hot dogs.
Yeah, of course. But I see myself as a bratwurst. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. If there was like some cranberry relish or like a cranberry mustard around, well, I would not hesitate to eat myself.
Okay.
Okay.
This is a metaphor for John really likes bratwurst with cranberry relish. But either way.
So how would you describe the value behind you justifying that was okay to eat yourself versus someone who might say, heck no, I'm not going to eat myself.
Well, if we take this and just make it super deep, I think, you know, sometimes it's more about the experiences that you have in life. And if you're really willing to enjoy something, then it's okay to sacrifice a little bit of, in this metaphor, my lifespan. But like in real life, it's okay to like take chances so you can get unique experiences.
Yeah, leadership is risky, guys.
Risky.
Ooh. Boom, take the risk. Also, so yeah, that's all the questions I had for my little identifying core values. Thank you for coming to my game show, John and Lorena.
I love this. So can we do this again, please?
Yes. Good. John, what about you? Out of all those concepts, which one resonates with you the most?
Yeah, so for me, when it comes to, you know, authentic leadership, it's a lot to do with understanding your motivations. And for me, I have a lot of really superficial motivations, but I also have like a lot of personal and deep to me motivations. You know, obviously, like being in college and being a college student, and, you know, having to work a job and all these other like real life things that a lot of people are going through, it can be like really tough. You know, like a lot of us like lose that motivation at times to be like, why am I here? Why am I doing this when, you know, there's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a shortcut. And for me, I just have like a really big understanding of like college is the shortcut. You know, college is the way to get that high paying job and to support yourself by means of not having to put in a incredible amount of time at like a specific company or doing a specific thing, or, you know, sacrificing a lot of your privacy to become like an influencer or something. You know, does this make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, yes, this work is hard. And yes, this can be really draining at times, especially around this time of year when it's like holidays. You know, we've got tests coming in, we've got finals, the weather's getting a lot shorter. Like, it's really hard to stay motivated at this time of year. And I feel that. I get that. Everyone, you know, is kind of feeling that way. And for me, like, I know what my motivators are personally. And everyone else, I feel like, needs to understand those motivators in order to keep driving themselves, to keep going. And once you understand your motivators, it's kind of like, it falls a pretty closely with core values. Like, they're just those things that no matter how badly like life beats you down, you're going to get back up because those are your motivators.
So like with that, now that you said that, mm-hmm. kind of building off of it, me and Lorena actually came up with some questions for you.
Okay. That's fine.
About like what motivates you and why. And so my one for, mine for you is who inspires you the most and why?
Yeah. So, it's not like I idolize them and I want to be like them. It's more along the lines of, you know, what they've done for me inspires me. And that's my parents. My dad, he worked, well, actually, when he graduated from high school, went to the military, did his tour, got out, didn't want to do it ever again. He worked at a job for the same job for 40 years. And, you know, he gave up a lot of opportunities just to support me and my brother. And so that he could afford for both of us to go to college. And I have the privilege of having a father who pays for me to go to college. And just, you know, like, it's not like, it wasn't like his work ethic or anything, but it was that long-term vision of just seeing, like, you know, he was being so selfless in that moment and wanting to give me and my brother this opportunity to be here. And just understanding that someone gave up 40 years of their life just so I could have 4 years here, that's incredible. And that inspires me so greatly to, like, no matter how bad, like, exams get or anything like that, or how bad, like, life's getting me down, it's just like, I could not imagine giving up 40 years of my life just so someone could have four. And so that really inspires me and motivates me to try my best while I'm here.
Right on. Lorraine, you want to ask him yours?
Yeah. So for my question is, so say, you know, you said you have your motivators or whatever. And say, like, all those motivators are not working at all.
Okay.
You've tried every single one and you're still feeling unmotivated. What do you do to keep going when you have nothing left?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. So when tank's on empty and you're just trying to start that motor, you really need to work up from nothing. And when you have nothing and you think you have nothing, I recommend best just like sitting down and writing down all the good things that are happening in your life. And then beyond that, recognizing of those good things that exist in your life, what can you do today and what can you do right now that will kind of put a little gas in the tank, you know, help you get that engine started. And for me, this semester, like, I definitely had one of those days where I was like, oof, not feeling it. So I, with the help and recommendation of some friends, I, you know, kind of took the day to myself and I just went out to go walk the Kanza and have some peace and quiet to myself, because I just was really involved in a lot of different things at that time. And I decided to take a break from all of those things and go on a walk and just be with myself and be present in the moment and really have some time to sit down to where I could think, but not feel the pressure from school or my job or emails or everything. And I think that definitely kind of helped me get kind of back on track.
No, that's cool. I think a lot, our society misses is the true meaning of being. And I think we talk about that a little bit in Lead 212 about, you know, really taking a step back and understanding yourself and just being and going with that. So thanks, John, for answering this question.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we appreciate it. And yeah, I just want to reiterate that, like, not everyone's story is the same and not, you know, our leadership styles aren't the same, and that's okay. Like, find what works for you and what motivates you and how you exercise your authentic self. You know, it's okay to be you.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of want to ask, like, Lorena some of these questions, but do you guys think we have time for at least just like one? Or
yeah, we can ask her one.
Okay. Yeah. Oh gosh, I have to think of one off the top of my head. Gracie, do you have like one prepared? Or
I don't. I guess, Lorena, out of those two questions that we asked John and as he was talking, which one reflects most with you, I guess? Maybe who inspires or motivates you, or what keeps you going?
I think my answer ties into both. So I guess I'll answer both, like, really quick.
Okay.
So who inspires me the most is my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, they have sacrificed, again, like John's parents, like, my parents have sacrificed a lot, and looks a little bit different, you know. I would say my mom is my biggest inspiration. This lady, I mean, doesn't speak English, knows nobody, and somehow ends up in the U.S., you know, creates a family. And then she puts her kids before her for everything. Like, the most humble person I've ever met, you know. And, like, when I'm in school and I'm like, oh, I can't, like, I want to give up, I think about, like, giving my mom at least a fraction of what she's given me.
Oh.
And I can't do it without school. And so I have to go through, and she inspires me to go through school. And so is my dad, you know. My dad, I mean, this man, he works outside. He hasn't had a vacation in over 4 years. And it's because he's like, no, I will rest when I die. And so, yeah, he's like
I'm
that.
I'm not crying. You guys are crying.
And so those are the two people who inspire me the most, you know, to keep going when I can't. Sometimes I can't. Yeah. And I think about their lovely faces and the things that I want to give them. And the only way I can achieve those goals is through school. So that's what motivates me to keep going.
Now I'm motivated.
Good. So yeah, I guess to wrap it up, guys, just really think about when thinking about authentic leadership, what out of all those concepts do you use on a daily to practice authentic leadership? And what are some of the things that we said today that resonate with you the most? John, do you want to hit us out with the outro?
Yeah, of course. Foods for thought, thoughts for a better world. This has been your Leader Feeder.